Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and you are in tune to our weekly broadcast. Of course, we are now going into our 14th year straight. Wow. Well, that's what it's about. It's about consistency, tenacity, and definitely, you know, we better be about no nonsense. Family, do you all have any idea about what's getting ready to come? Oh, my gosh. Well, we're going to help you to get some insight, because I'm telling you, there's some monstrous things that are definitely not only in the makings, but is in our midst. And so we're going to talk about some of that tonight. And as we proceed in the next few weeks, we're going to really start going real deep into some things because, well, we've just got to do that. At any rate, I want to welcome you again to this segment of New Day Resurrection. Tonight we are going to talk, of course, again about the call going out to Black women. Well, as we've said on numerous occasions, the lines are, in fact, drawn in the sand. And let me tell you, it is so obvious now, and it's almost heartbreaking to see and to know what we now really have a much better understanding about, and that is not everybody's going to be saved. That is for sure. And unfortunately, what I thought 2 decades ago when it comes to Black women, I just knew we were ready to move forward in a certain kind of way. Well, I don't like being wrong, but I was. But, hey, things do change. So maybe come next year, maybe we will see a little more readiness, for real, and not just hype and, you know, stuff about an event and so forth, because next year is the big 25, and I can guarantee you we are getting ready. At any rate, moving right along, family. Well, again, thank you for tuning in to this segment of New Day. Again, we're going to talk about the Call to Black Women, because on Saturday, October the 2nd, we will, of course, do a press conference in Washington, D.C., actually around the White House area. We're not sure exactly where yet, because we're not sure exactly where they're going to allow us to be, but we're going to be somewhere, that's for sure. And it is a reenactment, sort of, as well as what we call another great teachable moment, because on September 29th or thereabouts, what occurred in Washington, D.C. in 1951 was the fact that over 100 black women came together, and in doing so, they demonstrated some real, I think, unity, okay, because they really stood up and stood firm in addressing the issue of, at that time, of course, there was a focus on rape. A lot of our women and girls, I mean, and this was historically, of course, being raped by white males. For those who do some studying, then you know that in certain circles, to, you know, do things with a black woman was kind of a rites of passage. And certainly for, you know, many black males, I mean, not black males, for many white males, and I guess that was a Freudian slip for a moment there. But anyway, for many white males to show a certain type of control and dominance over the black woman was, you know, I mean, that's just what they had to do. That was a part of their being. Unfortunately, some of our people, some of our brothers have duplicated or mimicked some of that behavior. And we know, you know, don't act like y'all don't know, because you know it's true. We got to start calling it out the way that it is. This is not an African tradition and perspective. It is something that we have latched on to as a result of being colonized and enslaved. So we're either going to tell the truth, face it, and deal with it accordingly, or continue to keep pushing this stuff underneath the rug. But I can guarantee you it's not going to work out. It's just not going to be what some would like for it to be in terms of, you know, things still being hunky-dory. It's going to be a blacklash like people can't even begin to believe. At any rate, we're going to talk about that tonight. And, of course, the National Campaign for the Elimination of Violence and Abuse of Women and Girls of African Descent. We started it roughly like 5 years or so ago. And so now we have really put some things in place to bring it forward. It is going to be a national program that we'll be introducing into various cities. And it will have various components that not only include self-defense, you know, we've been doing that for a while, but now we're going to really look at the data, looking at the numbers based on the cities that have a population, a large population of black folks. We're going to start examining the numbers of rape, of murder, of sex trafficking, of incarceration of our women and girls. This has never been done before, at least not that we know of, and certainly not without a whole bunch of corporate sponsoring. I'll tell you that right now. And so we have figured out how we're going to do that, and we'll be telling you more about that as we proceed into October. As you may be aware, October is, of course, a month, a period in time that MWM is very, very vocal, very, very active, because it is our anniversary time. And every year we do Million Women March Week, and we certainly will definitely be doing it for October this year as well, particularly as we are now getting ready for the big 25. So this year is our 24, but again, it will serve as a launching for what we have coming next year, and next year will be worldwide. That's right. At any rate, I'll tell you more about that a little later on. Tonight, we're going to talk about, again, the issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls in the U.S. primarily. However, we're going to also now mention some other kind of components to some of the various things that we've been able to develop with MWM. And one of them is, of course, our elders. Now, we've talked about that on our program on numerous occasions. We've had various elders on who were going through certain types of dilemmas. One, of course, an elder who was a grandmother and, of course, was trying to get her grandchildren because the system had taken the children and taken them to another state, gave them to a white family and all that. This was a few years ago. Sister Hattie, of course, brought that case to our attention, and we've had numerous other incidents where we've conveyed to our people the need to really start focusing more on the issues of our elders. I mean, we've seen it right in our own communities and the so-called conscious community. I saw that when Queen Mother Moore was ill and made transition. I saw, of course, when Dr. Ben was ill and made transition. He had more support than Queen Mother, but the point being, our elders get ill, and a lot of times if they do not have children or close family members, it's not a good situation. And so we've got to do better. But that's on that end. Just in general, we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing in our communities that really help the well-being of our elders? Well, tonight we're going to talk to Sister Cynthia Johnson, who is going to share with us a situation that she is personally going through. And certainly I'm sure that others are having some similar kinds of experiences. And so when we talk with Sister Cynthia, you know, again, we have to begin to pay closer attention to what is going on. And again, perhaps more importantly, start talking more about what it is that we're going to do about some of these things. Well, MWM definitely has a plan of action. That's part of our Black Print Agenda 25. We've looked very carefully at some of the issues that are going on in our communities and now have developed, you know, various components where we are now prepared to address some of these maladies. Again, we're going to talk to Sister Cynthia Johnson. We're also going to talk with Brother Shep, and there's an event going on tomorrow. And Brother Shep is going to tell us about that event that's taking place in the New York area. Y'all know Brother Shep be doing a lot of stuff, on a regular basis, and that's what I really like. I like to see consistency. I like to see folks, you know, doing things ongoing, not just once a year or, seasonally or whatever. I mean, all of that is good, but serious so-called revolutionaries, and I don't use that word often because I'm very clear that that's a very serious word. And so, most folks, as far as I'm concerned, are not ready for that word or the concepts or anything close to it. As a matter of fact, I recently had some experiences that just helped me to realize how really so many of our folks, and note, I'm not even talking about the ones who, you know, may not be aware of certain things. I'm talking about the ones that are aware or at least have some understanding of some things. But nevertheless, the level of, I call it now Negroitis, the level of Negroitis that they're now suffering from is just so interesting because they can literally tell you a lot of stuff about what's going on. They can tell you about different, you know, movies or books or whatever, but you will not be able to get them but so far out of their comfort zone. Okay, and definitely don't start talking about self-determination. Now, that right there is a deal breaker. When you start talking to folks about doing things independently in a self-determination manner, watch what happens. Watch what happens. They start running. And if not visibly so, watch and see how long they stay around. Okay? I use that as a litmus test. because usually if folks are ready to rock hard and do some things without the corporate or the other kinds of monies, and again, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying anything is wrong with that, but what I am saying is if that's all you can do, then 9 out of 10, it's not real. And this, unfortunately, has been one of the dilemmas with our people and why we, one of the reasons why we have not advanced to the degree that we should. And it is fake folk, faking the folk. And so we're going to go more into that at another time, because we really have to begin to address and to make it clearer as to what has happened, how it has happened, and why, in regards to the demise of our communities, which again is why, in talking to Brother Shep, the program that they're doing tomorrow deals with community survival. And we're doing something similar here in Philly. We call it the Black Community Emergency Response and Preparedness Sessions. Because if nothing else, COVID should have showed people that we are definitely not on point, for the most part, in any kind of way when it comes to dealing with any type of crisis in our community. We are totally dependent on these people or those people, right? So, again, for those who get that and understand that, well, we're going to really start building greater alliances with those mindsets. So, again, it's really wonderful to continue to build with Brother Shep and our sister Keisha. Big shout out to her. She's tuning in. Another powerful edition of Thorough Black Talk the other night. Again, you know, you can always catch any of those episodes. They're on YouTube. So, you know, we'll remind you about that later as well. And, of course, Brother Lee as well. Again, family, we're really working on building our independent networks. A few other folks are doing so as well. But we're definitely with the Black Nation, well, what we call the Black Asian network, we are, you know, putting a lot of pieces in place and getting ready. And soon we'll be able to tell you a lot about that. But it's still kind of in the makings, but definitely coming forward. Okay, coming up in a few minutes, we're going to talk again with Sister Cynthia Johnson. And again, we're going to talk about something that most people are not talking about, and that is elder abuse. Elder abuse, and for tonight, we're going to talk about it in the context of systemic, the system, how our elders, now we know that many of our elders are oftentimes overly medicated. Right? That's a problem. That's a big problem in many kind of ways because, once again, we have little to no control over anything in our communities. And so when situations happen, we tend to have to be dependent on other people. So, again, when we talk with Brother Shep, one of the things that I've talked to him about, as well as a few other folks that deal in the medical arena, what MWM is working on our own, and we started this a few years ago, the African Holistic Health and Healing Society. Well, now that we have a center that we're working out of, we can literally provide the kinds of training and services. We are working out of a center called the Gathering Center, and I am the co-director of that center. And so I've been asked to create programs and other kinds of things. And again, we're talking about from an independent mindset. We do plan to get funding or other fundings, but best believe we are definitely fundamentally and primarily independent. And so very soon we're going to be having classes coming up. We've got classes that's going to deal with arts and culture, storytelling, shekere, drum, but also there's going to be literary classes as well as a few tech classes and health classes. Because what we now realize is, and this again is a litmus scale, if a person don't really care about their body, that kind of should give you a hint about something, for real, in this day and age. Years ago, you know, we didn't know. We couldn't do certain things, etc. But now, anybody that's not trying to deal with their health and trying to deal with some real kinds of, you know, maintenance and trying to do the best that they possibly can in this day and age, all I can say is, anyway, we're going to be doing some training here at the what we call the Gathering Center, and some of the training coming up is going to be herbology, aromatherapy, reflexology or Reiki, and we've been looking for the acupuncturist, and so we're connecting that because we want to be able to soon provide the types of services in our community that our people really need, okay? Anyway, we're going to talk to Brother Shep about that as well because they're going to be doing something tomorrow that they've been doing, I think this is the third year, and they call it the hip-hop walk for health. So again, stay tuned, family. We're going to bring you a lot of good information tonight. And coming right up, I think I do see Sister Cynthia in queue. And we're going to, again, talk about elder abuse, our elders. And again, that's happening in different forms. But it's time we talk more about it. It's time that we do more about it. One of the things that MWM is working on here in Philadelphia is the obtainment of property, okay, of buildings. We're getting ready to do a major thing here that begins to raise the question around the number of vacant properties that have been allowed to sit in Black communities. Some of these properties obviously should have gone to viable community groups and organizations. And certainly housing is, I mean, there is no reason for these properties to have set as long as they've had where people need housing. And so one of the things that MWN is working on now is preparing to file some class action suits along with some other actions to obtain various properties so that we can look at providing affordable housing. And, of course, that would include to our elders. So, again, when you hear us talk about certain things, you can best believe we're also actively involved in doing something about these things. So, without further ado, let's go to our live line and let's talk with Sister Cynthia Johnson. And again, we're going to talk about a situation that is affecting her life personally, but also I'm sure, you know, some of what you're going to hear is also relevant to some of you all. And if not to you personally, someone that you know. And again, there's other aspects of elder abuse that as a Black community, those of you who have organizations and groups and all of that, my question is being raised, oh, I'm raising the question, and that is, what are we doing? Anyway, let's go to our live line. Greetings to you, Sister Cynthia.
Greetings, Empress. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain. You know, still doing what I do.
Thank you for having me on tonight.
Sure.
Yeah, it never seems like it gives up. And one of the things that, you know, when you start connecting the dots and everything and you start asking yourself, okay, well, why is this situation continually popping up? And, you know, a lot of it is connected to the systemic, yes, but it's systemic in another manner as well. Whenever you run across somebody that fights back, everybody goes in. Okay, so all of that is happening, but what I'm finding is my mom is a repeated victim of this. So even before we even get directly to her, when the initial problem popped up years ago when we started dealing with the mortgage fraud scheme, she was a victim of that as well. But I started doing some research and looking around and talking about what exactly is happening and looking at people of color, at our people of color, and saying, okay, there is a disproportionate amount of us that's being neglected, taken out of our homes after we've owned them, and sent to nursing homes. So when you speak to the physicians or you speak to the medical professionals, and I'm calling them professionals, I think they're medical, they say, oh, they've lived a long life, just cherish the moment with them. Now, what does that mean? All right, does that mean that it's okay for us to let them die now? Does that mean that it's okay for you to over-medicate them? Does that mean that it's okay for you to abuse them and to throw them in a hole just because they've lived a long life? Therefore, you've made a decision that their life is no longer important to you. Now, that's systemic in itself, because that's what we've been dealing with all of our lives. And even before that, our ancestors have dealt with it as well, that our lives were valueless. And that, for me, is a no-go across the board. So I started looking at things with my mom's medication, bumping heads with the doctors, especially the doctors that don't look like me, who had her over-medicated on all kinds of stuff. I took my mom home with me, and I said, hey, we're going to start eliminating some of these medications. Doctors saying, well, I'm the doctor, you know, just let it be. No, I'm not going to let it be. No, why is she on 3 or 4 medications for high blood pressure? Why are you have her on an antipsychotic drug just to keep her quiet? Why did she have this? Why did she have that? No, she's coming off. Things improved. She knew who I was. Things were getting better. And then, you know, you look at different things that happen to people, but we're also looking at, again, back to thinking about not only physical health, but we're looking at mental and emotional health as well. Anybody that gets bombarded with a lot, and especially our elders who have already been bombarded with a lot, raising us, dealing with society as a whole, just trying to survive, eventually they start to break. And that's what I've been watching with my mom for the last few years. And you have to excuse me, I get a little emotional about it, because it is something that I'm living firsthand right now. Oh, boy. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. I mean, you know, these things are very painful, and, you know, it's unfortunate that you know, even have to share it, but, you know, people have to know. For those that don't know, people need to be able to know what's going on or have a better idea what's going on, because we've got to become a little more proactive. And many people have been saying this for years, my sister, but I'm telling you, after this COVID thing, anyone that doesn't understand or have some clarity about certain things, and again, I'm not talking about those who are totally clueless. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about people who claim to know certain things or have some understanding of certain things. If this COVID thing hasn't shown that these people are really now upping their ante and our detriment is definitely a priority, if they don't get that by now, what can we say? I mean, there's nothing else to really say. So, you know, so again, yeah, I can understand you being, not just emotional, but this having an effect on you, because in reality, it's having an effect on all of us. It's just that some just are not, you know, as aware as they will be. That's the point, as they will be, because this system, it ain't going to spare nobody in a minute. And those people who think they're going to escape, they're not, for the most part. I mean, they're going to save a few Negroes because they got to. But the majority of folks, they don't care nothing about it, nothing. So, you know, I wanted to give you a little time. That's why I'm talking. I'm just going to give you a little time to kind of regroup, because it's okay.
I appreciate that. All right. So
please continue.
I noticed that each time something happens, we're looking at federal government that has a huge portion, a huge part in what's going on. Number one, we're looking at federal funding. We're looking at people with the Fannie Macs and the Annie Mac loans and the Fannie Mae and those loans. Automatically, they think, hey, low-income housing, you don't really deserve what you have, okay? It's something that the government gave you, we take it away. So they did it with the home. Then we're dealing with now, the particular situation that I'm dealing with now is my mom lives in a building that was experiencing a federally funded renovation, Norman Towers in East Orange. The construction company, the owners, the everybody, they've been coming and going during the COVID crisis, no masks on, no anything. And, of course, you know, the battle started again. Nevertheless, my mother's apartment was demolished. Ooh. And it's still demolished today. The medical equipment, the everything, the way that they stopped me from seeing what was happening in the apartment, because I always have cameras everywhere my mom is. I watched the guy put tape over the camera, then went dead. The next thing I know, they dismantled the entire security system. Now, of course, instead of going in there and starting swinging, all right, I called the police. I said, okay, I got you. I called the police. More than once, let them come in and look at the damage that was done. Back and forth with the buildings. But the thing that's really disgusting in this whole thing, not just that they tore up the apartment, but the medical equipment that my mother needs, the life-sustaining equipment, they still have not replaced 4 or 5 months later. My mom is at my house. You know, I try to get her settled. I'm trying to take care of her by myself because of the COVID situation out there. I won't let too many people get near her. And when they do, there's something, you start coughing, you start sneezing, you're out of here. But she is not doing well. My mom is. It's like she's stiffening up everywhere. I don't have the proper mattress. I don't have the proper bedding, the oxygen, the everything. I don't have it because they destroyed it at that apartment. The building owner, the manager that was in there said to me, and excuse my French, but he said to me, I represent the owner and I will do whatever the fuck I want to do. Used the key, wow. Went in there, tore up her stuff, did everything. I'm telling you, that day, that was the only time I wanted to swing. It was, you're talking to me like that, you're disrespectful, and you think that you're going to get away with it? So, you know, the battle ensued. I've written letters to the officials, Adult Protective Services, HUD, every political person you could think of in our district to try to help with the situation. You think that I've gotten one phone call back? Nothing.
Wow.
What I usually do is I kick up the heat. It's not making me feel better. No. I've taken off time from work to be home with my mom to make sure she's okay. I'm working remotely for right now. I don't know how long that's going to last. But we started groups, started a petition online. It's whatever it takes to bring public humiliation to them for elder abuse during this day and age, all right, that we've worked all our lives, or my mom has worked all her life, came from down south, down there with a bunch of crackers, excuse me again, those will be her words for the rest of her life, that she'll never go south again. She fought her way from down there, came up to the north. She said her only thing that she wanted was her dream of owning her own home. Got that, they took it away from her, got the apartment, took that away from her too. What else is there left for her?
Wow.
I fight, and I think that the more I fight, the more things they do to her. So we're dealing with the first part of they don't care anything about the elders. The second part of they don't care anything about the elders of color. The third part is, let me get back at this nigga right here. It's a pain in my ass. All right? So, yes, I'm a pain in your behind every which way that I possibly can, for housing issues, for everything you could think of, elder abuse, nursing home fraud, everything you could think of, I'm there. But I'm also fighting in the community for our folks. And those are the ones, the officials, the everybody, they're upset about it. So they let my mother fall by the wayside. And she's the one that's hurting. Now, I keep her safe. At this, as safe as I can't stop her from being physically not well. But emotionally, I keep it all here with me. And it's starting to wear on me. And not only is it hurting, but I'm mad now. I'm mad. Because how much of this would she have been able to take? Not much. She started to break down with the house. Now we're dealing with the apartment. She's asking where my apartment at. I've got it here with me. I don't know how to even say to her that her place is destroyed again. How do I tell her that Crackers took her stuff from her again? That nobody cares.
No.
Oh, boy.
What is the age of your mother again?
My mother is 86 now.
Okay. Wow.
I started seeing wear and tear when the initial mortgage fraud situation popped up when she was 70-something, all right? For 14 years, I watched her suffer through that, and I tried to just take the weight of it. Now, we're still dealing with it. My mother has been bedridden since they took her house from her. Now they've taken another house. And it's all, there's all federal involvement in it. We don't care about you. It's pretty much just what they're saying. So she's got me. But what about our elders out there who don't have anybody?
Right, that's right. That's right. You know, again, these are some of the questions that we've raised over, you know, I mean, over the past two decades, unfortunately. And nothing has really changed. In fact, things have gotten worse. And we've got to ask ourselves why. And we've also got to ask ourselves, what is it that we can now do? What is it that Black folks must do in our communities to shift this paradigm, to change the situation? And so I'm going to open up the phone lines for you all, family, and see if you have any suggestions, because, again, those who say they are about certain things, unfortunately, these responsibilities are falling on us. We can't expect somebody else to do it. And so if we're not going to do it, then what do you think is going to happen? And obviously, this system does not care about our elders. They don't care about none of us now, really. A few of us, yeah, because they have to say, you know, they got to show this facade about, you know, whatever America's about. So they're going to keep a few, but nowhere near as many as some folk think it's going to be, because they have enough immigrants and others to make up and pick up, you know, the slack and so forth and so on. So, again, the question has to be, what are we going to do? What's the plans of action? I mean, we need to be asking folks, what is your plan of action? And if you don't have one, you better be hooking up with somebody to do. That's all I can tell you, because if not, we will continue to hear and experience what it is that we are hearing and experiencing. So I'm going to open up the phone lines for you all. And if you have any suggestions, if you have any comments or thoughts, you know, that can help our sister here with this particular situation, if you yourself have experienced anything like this or know if someone has, certainly we welcome you to share that. But the bottom line really gets to, what are we going to do? Really, if we're not asking that question, you know, these conversations are not going to be as productive as they need to be. And so I'm going to keep pushing that envelope. What are we going to do? Bottom line. You know, again, I'm going to say that thought because something just came to my mind about certain things that has really been, you know, just disturbing to me about people, but I'm going to reserve that for now. I'm going to go to you all. And so let's see, caller, you are at 9462. 9462, your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day. 9462.
You can't hear me?
I can hear you now. Yep. Yes, I can hear you now.
please forgive my background noise. I'm homeless, and homelessness is very loud. I have no control over that. This is Elder Mama Condi. I've been homeless now about a month and a few days. I'm not going to say what. I'm not going to tell my story, but I will say this. Sister, what is your name?
Cynthia.
You listed some health equipment. Is that correct? That your mother needs. My number is 614-285-9462. I need you to send me a text telling me what equipment she needs, if she needs diapers and other incontinence supplies. Does she need a disposable washcloth? Does she need just different things? If she needs a tub chair, a shower chair, a gooseneck shower head, railings, tell me what she needs, and I will do my best to put at least $300 to $500 towards the equipment, replacing the equipment. I've been blessed, and my equipment that was lost is being replaced, so I'm passing it forward.
All right, ma'am, would you mind giving me that number again? 614, I was trying to get to a pen.
No problem, sweetie. 614-285-9462. Be patient with me. I am blind.
Okay?
But my phone does read to me. And be very clear.
And I appreciate
I will get someone to help me because I can't afford to do that because some of my equipment is being replaced for me. So I want to share that with your mom if you allow me.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sweetie. I feel you. Bless you. You got a hell of a karma coming to you because you took your mom in. And I didn't have that, so I love you for being the daughter that you are supposed to be, and I wish on you a powerful karma for may it spill over into your next incarnation. I yield.
Thank you, Mama Condi. And I'll definitely be calling you tomorrow. Okay, so look for my call.
Are you talking to me, sweetie?
Yep. I said I will be calling you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you again.
Yes, sweetie pie. I look forward to hearing your text. Make sure you put your name in the text, how we came to know each other through this broadcast, and then list the things that your mom needs, and I will do my absolute best. Do you have Cash App?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, just in case you're able to do a better job at buying the things your mama needs than I am. Thank you. I yield.
All right. Thank you, Mama Kazi.
Thank you so much.
All right, family, moving right along, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, taking care of what needs to be taken care of, and it's difficult sometimes, but it has to now be done. Again, this past 2 years should have shown us what it is that must now get done. And, of course, there's always obstacles, needless to say, but unfortunately, You know, we still got to do it, or fortunately, whichever one you prefer, we still got to do it. And so some of us are committed to doing so come hell or high water, as they say. And that's really what it's about now. So, all right, my sister, well, that was one call, I'm sure, has really kind of, you know, uplift your spirits, has helped you to, you know, at least know that people hear you and do care. And that is sometimes, you know, more precious and more valuable than, you know, or what a lot of people might think. So,
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so let folks know how they can communicate with you. How can folks reach out to you?
Well, I'll give my phone number. It's 862-213-4422. Mm-hmm. Or my email is sisterpoet, SisterPoet, the number 7, at gmail.com. I also have a petition line. You can reach me through Facebook, Instagram, all of these. So the one thing I vowed is that, you know how when things go on in your life, okay, like I've been devoting all my time just trying to make sure my mom is okay. And mm-hmm. although I've still been here in the street, I've been giving most of it to her and trying to work. But I vow to get back out there again because mm-hmm. it the more time you spend away, the more time they get away. And that's not going to happen. I don't intend to see more people be homeless and on the street with this eviction moratorium that's coming to a halt. I'm going to give some master classes on how to stay inside because I do run the Essex County Tennis Association. And this is an election year. Let's show them what we're made of, all right? You won't just come outside just for a photo op. You're going to have to deal with some issues.
Absolutely. All right. So, and also you mentioned you do have Cash App. So would you please give out that information?
Wait a minute. I always have to look up to see what it is.
And family, again, we want. Oh, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
All right. My Cash App is $Sandie, S-A-N-D-I-E, the number 2, and then Mommy, M-O-M-M-Y.
Okay, one more time. Just in case somebody missed it, just say it one more time, please.
$ Sandy, S-A-N-D-I-E, the number 2, and Mommy, M-O-M-M-Y, $ Sandy 2 Mommy.
Okay. All right. Great. All right, family, so you heard this story tonight, and certainly there are many, many others, and, you know, again, this is an issue that is not being talked about very much in our communities. We talk about so many other things, and it's just, to me, so very interesting that fundamentals are not something that you hear in our community. And particularly, you know, and I have to go back to the thousands of groups and organizations that are 501c3s and fall under or part of their mission or whatever is nonviolence. That's, you know, one of their major, if not their mission statement, is part of their programming. Nonviolent, but you rarely hear, and I've watched this very carefully over these past years, you rarely hear or see programs, particularly anything that is consistent, that deals with elder abuse. The same thing with our women and girls, That's one of the things that we're getting ready to address here in Philadelphia is the fact that we have, oh my gosh, at least 50 groups and organizations and or organization that, you know, their thing is anti-violence, you know, anti-violence and I think anti-drug. Those are the two that they kind of highlight, and they get, you know, these grants and stuff under those two banners. But yet when it comes to the women, there's absolutely nothing that they do for the most part when it comes to the women and girls, and certainly not our elders. Most of these programs focus on a lot of times gun violence and gang violence, right? And substance abuse. These are their primaries. And so we've got to make sure that we take a little closer look at what's really going on in our community, who we have representing in our community, and what are they actually doing, for real, that's really relevant in this day and age, and particularly in the manner that it is in. So, again, we've been talking with Sister Cynthia Johnson. We've been talking about her mother, who is 86 years of age, who is a victim. And I hate using that word, but it is what it is. She is a victim of this system. And again, if Sister Cynthia had not been in the position to be able to do what it is that she's been able to do, I don't even want to think about what could have possibly happened, as it has been happening to many. Lastly, about a week or so ago, we did a session here in Philly with the mayor. I'm sorry, not the mayor. It's kind of all the same to me at some point. The sheriff's office. We had the sheriff of Philadelphia, and we had the representative from the Register of Wills. And those two sessions was really focusing a lot on the elders, because those are the folks who are really kind of set up to lose their homes through the sheriff's sale and through the Register of Wills. And that's one of the reasons why we presented those two, because the information that they have is really pertinent for people to have a better understanding of how our people are losing their properties through what agencies or through what departments and how exactly that's being done. So we learned something about what they call tangled titles and, you know, there's liens that can be put on if an elder is not able to pursue certain funding or whatever, or make certain arrangements when it comes to electric or gas, that their property can be, a lien can be placed on their property. And if they don't know what to do or don't have someone to help them, their property can go up for sheriff sale based on sometimes it could be a couple of hundred dollars that is, you know, in rears, that their house can go up, you see. And, you know, these are some of the things that have been happening to some of our elders, and not just in Philadelphia, but all over the country. And this is how gentrification has also escalated in many ways. So, my sister, before we leave with you, is there any other thing that you would like to share with us that you would like to help our people to better understand, you know, again, what you are experiencing, but what you know is going on with these nursing homes and other kind of so-called, you know, senior places?
Yeah, you know, it's the lack of care and consideration that's happening, the lack of respect. When we look at it as a whole, again, it's all systemic, and it's the mindset of Western society as a whole. But it's the you don't matter anymore. But the thing that what we're forgetting is that we're underestimating the value of the knowledge that's being passed on by our elders. What they're teaching us, what they've taught us, is how we got to where we are today. this whole issue with gentrification, the coming back into the city now, which means that we don't care whether we displace you or not. And it's still more of the disrespect. It's the, we just want you gone now. All right? So, that, you know, I guess then it's okay to go back to Africa, you know? But my biggest issue is many of us, the younger generation, are allowing this to take place. We are allowing these atrocities to happen to our people, to our elders, our parents. Throw them into a nursing home where quite frequently they're abused and battered, and quite frequently sexually abused. I let my mom go to a place for respite care for a couple of days. When I finally got her back, she said to me, when I got her back, she was in her room and she said, wait, where are you going? I said, I'm going to go to my room now. She said to me, I just want to make sure that nobody's in the room with me, you know, and then it was a question and answer period for me trying to find out exactly from her what exactly happened. And then I went back to the nursing home, pulling cameras, pulling videos, pulling this and pulling that to see what she's talking about. But then she said to me that nothing happened, that she heard that it was happening in the facility. People are sick and they want to harm anybody, but especially the weak and the elderly. They want to take what they have. In this building that my mom lives in, not only did they destroy property, they stole property, all right? Broke property, did everything you could think of. So it's the, she has me to fight for her. Again, what about the ones who didn't? I did take Channel 4 News. Sarah Wallace covered the story in there, and it aired on Channel 4. But I made sure that we went to all 16 floors in that building to interview everybody, not just my mother's apartment, because I said, if this happened to her, then it had to have happened to others. And you had some of the elders, I had to say to them, I'm here, I'm right next to you, you're okay. And they actually told what they went through. But prior to that, everybody was really hesitant. They didn't want to say anything. You know, so if we don't stand up and say, hey, we're willing to go to war for this, you're not going to kill us, kill our people off, because each and every one of us is going to get old as well. Are we going to settle for that happening to us as well? Are we going to sit back and lay down for somebody to put their foot on our neck at any given time? Because if they could just euthanize our elders in these nursing homes, they would. I say no. I say no to it. So the battle begins. On October, either the 1st or the 4th, we're going to take a bus down to, I'm going to pay for this bus to go down to Trenton, down to Mercy, Governor Mercy's office. All right, you don't want to respond? We're going to come to you. We're going to drive down. We're going to do whatever we need to do to get to you so you can hear in this election year. We're going to come to you, Senator Booker. All right? Nobody wants to hurt you, but we want you to hear, and we want the news to pick up and hear exactly how you've been neglecting your folks. We want you to know, everybody to understand, that we're not going to tolerate you abusing us any longer. We've taken it long enough. I don't want to shed any more tears about this. You know, it hurts me enough when I see it happen to others, but this has hit so close to home that I can't even express to you how I feel. I can't, because it hurts me deep down to my soul to watch my mother hurt, to watch her suffer, and to be confused. And it's not just old age. It's stress and everything that she's been through. This is how we're killing them. They're dying off from a hurt, pain, and neglect. And I just say no more to it. Whatever I have to do, I'm going for it. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak, Empress. All right. I appreciate everything that you do. And trust me, we see you moving. We see you shaking out there.
You know, I had no idea, I'm going to tell you, I'll be very honest, I had no idea that, you know, I would be going through what I've had to go through to bring this movement forward. I mean, I should have known, because when you look at the history of America and look at what the system has done for 400 plus years, I mean, I really should have known. But I got to be honest and say, I just had no idea when it comes to our people, right? I knew pretty much, or had a pretty good idea about the system, but I did not know amongst our own people just, you know, what we have to be dealing with. And the cliquism, the envy, the jealousy has really impeded to a great extent, you know, moves that we really could have and should have made before now. We just weren't able to do so because we were fighting the enemy that we all are very familiar with, but then also found that we had to deal with, you know, people who we thought, you know, were our brothers and sisters, when in fact they too were enemies. So, you know, it is what it is, and we are thankful to be able to continue to do the work, and certainly to do it now with a certain level of wisdom. that will and has made a difference, to be clear about what's really going on, because I can tell you at some point, you know, hey, people would be under no illusion. We think that this is what it is, but then at some point you realize and learn that not everybody is really telling the truth, nor really care like that. And so, you know, it's duly noted now, though. I can tell you that. Oh, it's duly noted now. So, all right, my sister, I'm glad that tonight's program has been, you know, if not, I will dare say, helpful, but certainly has helped to bring you hopefully just a little bit of peace or a little bit of hope, because, you know, that's what New Day is about.
Most definitely. I appreciate you. I appreciate everyone that's listening. Thank you.
All right. All right, my sister. Give thanks. All right, family. We are going to move forward. I think I do see Brother Shep in the house right about now. And Sister Cynthia, we will be in touch with you later on this week. And, you know, hopefully some other things will pop up or come through, you know, as people are, a lot of times people tune in or, you know, they listen in at another time. And so, you know, perhaps some other things will be happening once that goes into effect.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Peace to you. All right, family, moving right along, as I indicated, we're going to talk to Brother Shep in a few minutes. And he's going to talk to us about not only the third annual Hip Hop Walk for Health. We're going to talk about some other things with our brother. And again, it's always wonderful to build with brothers and sisters who are on a similar same page as you are. That has been a tedious task, I can tell you, to really, you know, kind of differentiate one thing from the other in terms of how to move things forward. There's so many different kind of, you know, loops and hoops and crevices. Whew, I can only tell you it's been an interesting journey, to say the least. But we've come through a wonderful phase, and this phase has enabled us to now make some leaps and bounds and giant steps. The awakening giant, as there was once said here in Philly, is now among us. Before we talk with our brother Shep, I want to take a few moments to share with you a commentary from Mumia Abu-Jamal. Now, this commentary was done actually a few weeks back. For those who are familiar with Glenn Ford, then you know that he made transition. For some, that was, you know, kind of a shock because they didn't know that he was ill or, you know, what have you. So Mumia did a commentary in regards to Glenn Ford. And I mentioned that because this past weekend, or was it last weekend? No, this past weekend. Oh, maybe last weekend. Anyway, there was a recent a memorial service for him in New York. And so with that said, let me just cue this up. want you to hear Lumia's thoughts about Glenn Ford, who is very, very well known in the movement, particularly in terms of his writings and things of that nature. So this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Black real and journalist, remember, for readers and listeners across America and around the world, the name Glenn Ford was not a strange one. For they read and heard the voice of a man who felt the heartbeats and sensed their rage. Perhaps best known as co-founding the influential Black Agenda Report, Ford began his journey to journalism when he was hired at a Black radio station in Georgia, owned by the great musician and entrepreneur James Brown. Most workers at such stations not only are paid poorly, but must work doing a variety of jobs. Ford doubled me over in gut-clenching laughter when he told me that he came to work one day only to find the sales and advertising staff cutting grass. Why were they cutting the grass? Because Mr. Brown had told them to do so. Mr. Brown also suggested that Ford use the name Ford on the air instead of his birth name, Rutherford, because Ford was easier for listeners to remember. Glenn Ford was a journalist who wrote his copy with fire and passion. He loved Black people. He was a fierce and independent anti-imperialist, and he lashed the Black political class who failed to protect and fight for Black life. He joined the Black Panther Party in his youth and became a socialist in his adult years. He saw 71 springtimes before returning to his ancestors. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Imprisoned Radio.
Indeed, none other than Mumia Abu-Jamal. I mean, you know, when you hear his voice, oh my gosh. It just, for me, it just brings so many thoughts. And again, just reaffirms how important it is that we free Mumia Abu-Jamal and all of our political prisoners. You know, almost 40 years, and I mean, it is just absolutely incredible. So we'll talk a little more about that later. But again, as we have said earlier, COVID has really given us a lot to see and a lot to better understand. And certainly the issue of our political prisoners must now become a primary discussion and action. It can't just be certain group anymore. It has to be, if you're talking about the issue of so-called social justice, that has to be one of the issues. So, again, with New Day and other aspects of what the Million Woman March Universal Movement is about, we're going to be pushing the envelope now to a greater extent. Again, the topics and areas of things that, for whatever reason, does not get the kind of attention or visibility or discussion amongst our people, those who are talking about issues, well, we're getting ready to make sure that a few of the issues that has been shoved underneath those rugs are now getting ready to get a thorough cleansing, and we're bringing it out. The issue of our women and girls, this sex trafficking thing, the beatings in our community. That's right. People don't want to talk about that. You don't want to get in other folks' business. Well, guess what? All of this is having an impact on all of us at this point in time. So we're saying things now that's got to be said. At any rate, let's go back to our live line, and we're going to talk with our brother Shep. I thought I saw him in queue. Now I'm not seeing him in queue. Wow, what happened? Let me see. Brother Shep, if you can hear me, you need to press 1 because I am not seeing you. And I need to see you so that we can bring you in. Okay, there we go. All right. I thought I saw you earlier, but that was a whole nother number. Okay. All right, very good. I see you now. So let's do this. We are going to go to our live line, and we're going to talk about an event that's coming up tomorrow, but certainly going to kind of give you some insight and overviews about some other things that are relevant to what we've been talking about. We're talking about health. And also we're going to talk to Brother Shep about, because part of tomorrow is going to also focus on getting rid of the blockade, Cuba. So without further ado, let's open up that live line. And hold on 1 minute. Okay, there we go. All right. Greetings, Brother Shep. How you be this evening? Uh-oh. I thought that was Brother Shep. Maybe it wasn't. Okay. I'm not hearing you. Uh-oh. Something is not happening like it should. All right. Let me try something else here. Hold on 1 minute. I am not hearing Brother Shep, so let me try something else. Bear with me, family. I'm just looking to see. Let's see. See if there's something else I can do on my end here. Okay. Let's try. Maybe that was not the number. So let me just do something real quick and make sure that I had the right one. Okay. Yep. Okay. All right, let's do this. I think that was not the right number, so hold on 1 minute. Let's see. Okay, greetings. Brother Shep, is this you? Okay. For some reason, I am not getting the voice. I'm not hearing you. All right, in the meantime, let me go to a caller at 9324. 9324. Let me see if that is a number that is connected to Brother Shep. 9324, your mic is open. Okay, I'm hearing you, but I'm not hearing you. It's very muffled.
Hello? Hello?
Okay, that's better. That's better.
How about now?
Yep, much better.
How about? Okay, this is Brother New World.
Hey, Brother New World, how you be?
I'm alive. I ain't going no further because I don't want to lie.
Okay.
Truth is an imperative.
So all right.
I heard you all covering some rather important topics relative to senior citizens. Please warn our people about this thing going on with consumer cellular, targets, and who is? It's three of them in there. Oh, AARP. They are ripping old folks off like nobody's business. Because to get the service, they have to have access to your bank account. They tell you you can get it for $25 a month. That's not true. They had charged me twice over $70, which is more than I was paying with the service I had before them. They charged me twice in 1 month and went in my bank account to get it. So I shut them out completely.
Wow.
So warn the seniors, please.
Yeah, mention those companies again. Say the names of those companies again.
Target, AARP, and Consumer Cellular are all in the bed together ripping senior citizens off. Because to get the service, you have to allow them to have access to your bank account.
Wow.
And that's never a good idea.
All right. I know that's right.
So, yeah, right, please be careful because seniors have to be careful in this age of technology because you get got by the things you don't know.
That's right. That's a good point. Very good point.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. So move with caution.
Yep, absolutely.
We live in the age with no integrity, no honor, and they call it victimless crime. That's not possible when you take an elderly person's nest egg and leave them broke and broken.
That's right.
And call it a victimless crime. That's not a victimless crime. That's just downright wicked.
That's right. That's right. No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Move with caution.
All right. Brother Newer, I want you to stay right there. I'm going to take one more caller, but I want to come back to you. Caller, you are at 9498. Oops. What happened? Hold on. Somehow I just lost 9498. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Maybe they were, yeah. Oh, well, yeah. There, is this Brother Ray Ray?
Sister Filet, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Hey, Brother Ray Ray, yes, I can hear you.
I don't know how I don't know if I pressed the number wrong or nothing, but good to hear your voice. Good to hear your family down
to hear
in
you.
In Philadelphia last week. Sometime when I, Sister Filet, when I try to take that nap, man, it's rough and I don't get up on time. So. Because I really don't like to miss your program, and I was listening a little bit to the, and my heart goes out to the young lady in the nursing home with what they do, and even in New York, don't have a house, and you get put in a nursing home because the house belongs to the nursing home. They will keep you in that that house is not yours.
Right.
The house belongs to the nursing home, and they will keep you in there, and that house belongs to them. And my brother, God bless him, he's not here. He was in a few nursing homes, and people are lucky. If you're in there, you are lucky if you have somebody to come see you, because if nobody comes see you, they do the And that's why I have a problem with all honoring all these bum behind so-called people that's supposed to be taking care of the elderly in these nursing homes, and then they want to honor them. They are the most laziest piece of crap, and the doctors be lying, and they just once they get that insurance and all the programs, they will order so much medication until you get a call that something happened that night. That something happened that night and your loved one is gone. And with my brother, we went to, I was going every day to make sure.
Wow.
And they put you in the corner, the one on, oh, man, this was on Nostrand Avenue. Tie him up so he wouldn't move. They do a disgusting job. That is the worst place to be. My friend, his mother, he had to put his mother in one because he just couldn't take care of her, and she had the dementia, some parts of it, and they said she broke her hip. Then,
oh my goodness!
All of a sudden, they was doing all kind of unnecessary surgeries to get money. It is disgusting, and I hope I don't wind up in there. And some people don't have nobody to come see them, Sister Flynn.
Right, right.
And they do so much of the horrendous stuff. So, you know, she's fighting hard, but I know the stories of... Go ahead.
That's what I really want to get to, because we often hear these stories. What can we do? And I don't mean like right now, obviously, but I mean as we're planning and talking, and what are some of the things that we can do? And Brother New World, he's on the line with us as well. So Brother New World, see, all of us have different experiences, but certainly some of our own experiences, and not necessarily with elders per se, but just in life. What are some of the things that you think we can start doing to address some of these problems?
I was talking to the doctor, when I used to go there about my brother, and I wasn't medically, you know, I try to ask questions and see what's going on with the procedure, but the doctors are so slick. When you start asking these questions, they don't want to answer you. They're giving me all kind of stuff. But if you don't have nobody to go up there constantly, and then the sad thing about it is family members don't want to go every day. They're not going every day. And then when you're not there to look after them, when you leave, they're at the beck and call of the nursing home. They don't mop up. I was going there to make sure they was washing them up.
Right.
Now,
right.
I don't know what – now, this was before the scamdemic, plandemic, transdemic came. This was before all this COVID stuff. So now I really don't know what is going on in these places now that they don't let you go up in there, because they could tell you anything. You can't do nothing because they don't let you in there. So it's really a dangerous situation. And I hope when I get old, I hope and pray that somebody, my family members, is around to come see me, because my friend in Detroit, before I get off my soapbox, I got another friend in Detroit. That's the other two members of his family they out there, they doing their thing. And he's not out there. He's not on the other side of the coin. He's doing the right thing, and he has to go there. His father has dementia, and half dementia, half not dementia. And they was kicking him out of places, and they finally, he got him into another place. But he says it's draining on him, but he still does it to get up there. And then the man caught a stroke. But what if the son wasn't nobody would go see him, because the other two family members ain't paying. No, and then once they get you, they take everything from you. You can't do nothing unless you try to educate yourself and don't put them in there from the beginning. If you don't put them in there from the beginning, but then how are you going to take care of them? Your loved
right.
ones.
Right.
So it's sad. It's crazy. And if there's nobody around, they just do whatever they want, and you at their beck and call. And basically, you can't do nothing because you're not there now.
Right.
Saturday
right.
at 11 o'clock, you're not there
right.
now, and you don't know what is. My brother used to say, I've got to get the hell out of here. And you work so much money, they make sure they keep you in there.
Wow.
I was so happy my sister knew a little bit about the business, because she worked in the VA. So she knew the jargon, the medical jargon, and they couldn't pull the wool over her eyes, but they sure was able to pull the wool over my eyes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I did not know that medical stuff. So thanks. I just want to say that. I know how she feels.
Thank you.
Can I make
Ray.
A comment on that?
Yep. Go ahead, Brother New World.
Okay. Relative to how they've always treated us, you asking for solutions. I hate to oversimplify things, but all we really need to do is become culturally aware. In essence, take our humanity back. I don't know what we've allowed ourselves to be turned into, but we need to surrender that and go back to who we are, because according to what I realized doing Kwanzaa and dealing with African life, we never threw grandma and grandpa away. We didn't need, what's it called, the places where they throw children away. We didn't need those because nobody ever threw the children away. So we have to take our humanity back. Once we value ourselves again, our world would change almost overnight. I said, why don't we learn to turn our love inward? Once you do that, nothing outside of your circle will matter, will it? And this is all I'm saying to us. We must take our humanity back.
Yep, I certainly agree.
It's true, people.
We become cultural idiots or culturally illiterate.
People didn't put people away like that, but if you don't have a lot of people in your family to look out, then that's what they do.
Right.
You have to be blood.
You have a daughter live in California. You have another daughter. If my wife still wasn't here and her mother lives in the project, she's able to do, and she's still in the project and she looks on it every day. But what will happen to her mother if she lived out of state with the other? They throw her right, kick out the project. And they was trying to take her apartment anyway, kick out the goddamn project and put in a nursing home. And you can't come see her. You in another state. So it's a tough situation there.
Well, and I agree with both of you. And again, what I always say, as you know, Brother New World, you know, this is 2021, almost 2022. And so we've got to go to that next step, which is now the how, because we've talked about for decades, this is what we need unity, we need this, we need that, but we're not hearing what is going to be the mechanisms, what is going to be the actual plans of action in order for that to happen. And again, we oftentimes hear unity, but, you know, we need to be more unified, we need to do this, we need to do that. But at the same time, you know, it sounds good. It really does. But what is the actual motor operandum that's going to help that to come about in reality? That's kind of where.
I said the same thing about that I say to Christians. It's easy to talk Jesus. Living it is a whole other thing. We can talk
but
about
that's why I'm,
and unity,
right.
But living it is what we must begin to do.
So,
let me
just say this, Brother Rebbe, and then I'm going to come right to you. See, okay, this is why I'm here, all right, because I have to make sure we come forward. And for example, what I've realized is, and this doesn't work for everybody, so I'm not saying this is the all in all. I'm just saying what I know has helped, all right, myself and others, and is this. Changing one's diet. See, again, we can talk about certain things, but if we're not saying, here are some of the things that Brother Ray Ray has tried to do or Sister Keisha has done, if we're not saying clearly certain things in this day and age, see, again, we got to raise the bar. So I'm going to speak for me. I can't speak for nobody else at this point and say this. I know when I began to stop doing certain things, meaning I started caring more about myself in a way where I became more selective about what I put in my body. Because that's the least I can do. The least I can do is be a little more cognizant and caring first about what I put in me. So my point is this. We have to begin to say to one another, and this is not a condemnation. This is not, you know, I'm trying to make somebody say or do something. I'm merely saying to try certain things. It's one thing to say, we need to do this. We need to do that. You're right, we do. But how's that going to happen? How's that going to change behavior? Because that's what we're really talking about.
And it's nothing but a tool.
Right. So I'm saying again, as we're saying, these are some of the things we need to do, we also need to be saying. And here's my suggestion about how we need to do that. See, because other than that, we'll be, what is this, 2021? We'd be in 2031 or 2041 having the same conversation. Mm-hmm. We cannot do that any longer. We've done that long enough. We have to be more responsible with each other. And even in the information and the other things that we're trying to convey to one another, we've got to raise the bar. Brother Ray, back to you. You was going to say something?
Oh, another thing, like he said, and this is what's really, really, really sad, not only in nursing homes, in hospitals in particular. The workers are the most laziest, stinking people that just want to sit around and don't do nothing, don't want to take care of the patients, get a paycheck. If they mind was changed, because I have sat up in there another time when my brother was in there, they was given the virtual. We couldn't even get a virtual because they kept coming up with excuses because they don't want to do their job. But when you threaten to fire them, they come out of the woodwork and want to do everything right. And a lot of them ain't pay no dues in this country. They're the most nastiest people out. They don't want to do their job. If they did their job better, the patients who the insurance money pays their salary, they had a mindset. But when they get in there, they sit around and they don't do nothing. Even when my sister was in the hospital, it's disgusting. Because their mindset is not doing the right thing from the jump.
And so again, my brother, and I'm glad you're, you know, saying all these things to help our people to have a better understanding of what's really going on. And again, I'm just encouraging everyone that as we have these conversations, please begin to think more about what is it that we're going to do, because other than that, this will continue to happen, and it's going to be even worse. This is going to be worse because this system is now moving in a totally different direction. We already know that the vaccination thing has been now pushed strongly on our elders. So we already know what's going on. It's right before our eyes. And so this is a very, very serious situation. If we do not begin to look at this just as we do other issues, okay, yes, I'm dealing with the issue of reparations or reparatory justice. I'm dealing with the issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls. I'm dealing with the issue of political prisoners. I'm saying to all of us, we have to now look at this whole thing. We've got to become more holistic. We can specialize in different areas of certain things because that's what I do. But at the same time, I'm actively involved in supporting other areas of struggle, even though that's not my area of expertise. And we've got to begin to look at doing that to a greater extent. All right, family, we're going to move forward. I think I do see Brother Shep in queue finally.
All right.
We've been talking with Brother Ray Ray. Yeah, we've been talking with Brother Ray Ray and also our brother New World Warriors in the house. So, my brothers, I thank you both. I love you both. I want y'all to know that for sure.
Okay, so we're going to now, hold on, let me, okay, cool, there we go. Okay, we're going to go now to, I hope this is Brother Shep, and so let's bring him in and get this report that we've been talking about most of the night. And again, there's an event going on tomorrow in New York, and this is the third annual hip-hop. For health. And see, we were just talking about health. And again, this was a very important area. And again, we're going to tie this into the blockade on Cuba because that's about health and the mere fact that many of our people are, in fact, taking that vaccine. A lot of our people have no idea that there are some alternatives, and unfortunately, they won't know or have access to those alternatives because of the blockade. So anyway, let's go back to our live line. I want to thank Brother Ray Ray and Brother New World again for, again, sharing that information. Brother Ray Ray, the experience that he had with his family member, of course, New World with being a veteran and going through some, you know, very kinds of interesting things with the system. But again, you know, we have to look at what are we going to do about our health, the health of our elders, the health of our children. Moving right along. Let's go to our live line and let's welcome Brother Shep in the house. Hey, Brother Shep.
Peace. Do y'all hear me?
Yep, hear you loud and clear.
Okay. By the way, I know I was cruising a little earlier, but as it is, we get caught up in doing work so much that we don't take care of the health of sleeping. We need to. And actually, you know, when you call, woke up, Dr. Shaka should be on. He's actually the quote-unquote expert on this that I had invited, who's actually dealing with the health walk and the information that we're putting out. Just so folks don't know who I am, this is Brother Shep. I'm a veteran of the original Black Panther Party, and we are actually doing the health walk. It's a tribute to Brother Lord Yoda X, who had envisioned doing the walk in Harlem to bring awareness to the fact that our people are not healthy and our people don't know those alternatives to how to heal themselves. And Dr. Shaka, are you around? Can you speak? Can you hear me?
If you can give me the last four numbers, I might be able to find him in queue.
Okay. And of course, I don't know the numbers by heart. But I did give
yeah,
him. He should have called it just before I did.
Let me do this.
I'm going to have to call you right back. Hold on. I mean, I'll call right back. Right back, right back.
Okay. All right, my brother. All right, family. We are going to wait a few more moments and have Brother Shep to call back. And then we're going to have a brother on that's going to talk to us about health and some other things. So please bear with us. And we're going to just take a few more minutes. In the meantime, I want to remind everybody that next Saturday I will be in D.C. And we will, again, reenact to some degree the 70th year anniversary of 100 plus black women being in Washington, D.C. And of course, there was the call to Negro women. And the call to Negro women was inspired first by, well, I'll say first, but definitely inspired by a poem that the great B.A. Richards wrote called A Black Woman Speaks. And as a result, black women came together, and that's why I'm looking, you know, we put this call out maybe 2 months ago to you know, black women, and the response has been like next to nothing, which is fine with me because we're going to do what we're going to do anyway. But the point is, you know, with all this Black Lives Matter stuff and all of that, you would think
that black women would at least sign on, meaning, you know, we're requesting a meeting with, President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris and the Justice Department. And so, again, for those who, you know, you always get these people who, oh, why are they doing that? But then when you ask them, really, what is your plan? They give you a whole lot of mumble-jumble. But anyway, so, again, we know that we have to do things for younger folks in particular to see certain actions, to experience certain kinds of things. But definitely, how about history, y'all? Is it of any importance to people? Because I find nowadays, unless you're talking about ancient Kemet or something like that, a lot of times people don't want to do no history. Well, that's not us, needless to say. And so next week, Saturday to be exact, we will enact the demand to meet with the officials of this government, for lack of better terminology. And with that, we are talking about now seven areas. And one of them does include not only, of course, which what the women talked about, and that was the rape of our girls, our women and girls in particular, by white males, which at that time didn't get much attention or concern, similar to today. But they also talked about the injustices of our people. Now, this was 1951, and they went, and it was a broad base of women, Shirley Graham Du Bois, Queen Mother Moore, Charlotta Bass, who owned one of the first black publishing companies, newspapers, Islander Robeson, Paul Robeson's wife. And, I mean, you know, wide range of people, of black women. But now we put this call out to black women, and interestingly enough, we're not getting at least them to sign on. So we're going to see what the next week brings. But it doesn't matter. I mean, if they do, they do. If they don't, they don't. But we're definitely going to move forward either way. Okay, moving right along. Hold on one moment, family. Let me just check something. I was trying to see if Brother Shep was back, so let me just check to make sure. I think. Nope, I'm not seeing him in queue. Okay. Okay, moving right along. So at any rate, if you are a black woman and you are in some form of a leadership position, or you want your voice heard or what have you, you can at least sign on in support of this demand to meet with President Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the Justice Department. And again, some of the issues that we want to talk to them about is we want some clear answers in regards to reparatory justice. We want to know what is their plan, since particularly Biden and Harris said very clearly that black women were very instrumental in them getting elected. Then what are black women saying that should be some reciprocation here? Certainly, to at least know what their intentions are, and it's not like we don't know, but that's, you know, that's not the point. The point is to get it on record and be able to communicate it in a way that really educates and creates some other kinds of agitation. And so we are going to ask them, what is your plan on about reparations? Also, the release of our political prisoners. If we have this evidence, which we do, in regards to COINTELPRO, why would they not be released? And since Joe Biden does have that capability, certainly that needs to be something to be considered. And black women, since, again, we supposedly helped to get them in office, certainly that is a position and a demand that at least needs to be stated, along with some other things. So, again, for sisters who are interested in signing on to this demand to meet with the President of the United States
feel free to contact us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com, or you can call us, actually text us, not a call. You can text us at area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. Okay, I do see Brother Shep back, so let me bring him back in. Okay, there we go. All right.
Hello?
Shep, we have you. Yep, we got you.
Yeah, I've been in. I don't know what happened.
Oh,
I heard
okay.
you looking
no.
for me. Anyway, the number is 9685. That's Dr. Shaka Zulu's number. I hope he's still there.
Okay. 968. Did he? Nope, I'm not seeing it. Did you ask him to press 1 because then it's easier to find? But I'm not seeing it.
I just sent him a direction. Maybe he's having the same problem I had. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm not seeing.
You said 9685?
Yes, that's the last 4 numbers.
Right. No, I'm not seeing it. 9685. Nope.
I'm going to try one last time.
Wait a minute. I see it.
Because I don't
want to
hold
no.
up yourself.
No, I got it. I see it. He didn't press
okay.
1, but I do
okay.
see it. 9685. Okay. So let me bring our brother in, and I'm sorry, give me his name again.
Dr. Shaka Zulu.
All right. Oh, I love that name. Okay. So now, hopefully, this is Dr. Shaka Zulu. Your mic should be opening up. Oh, wow. It's just spinning for some reason. Dr. Shaka Zulu, can you hear me? Okay, something is going on there. For some reason, it's just spinning. Let me just try. Okay, I think he's going to call back because it just disconnected. So let me see.
Yeah, that's where I ended up. I called back twice and I got through.
Okay. It was 9685. Was that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah,
that's him. Okay. Great. I see him. Okay. Hold on. All right. I think we have him now. Yep. Yeah, we do. Okay. Dr. Shaka Zulu, we have you. Thank you.
Thank you. Peace.
Peace, my brother. Peace. Thank you for being diligent.
Thank you. Thank you. You had me.
Wow.
You had me up. You had me informed with the great information that you were sharing. So I'm just being quiet and just learning. I got my pen and paper ready. You know, I love it.
Okay. I didn't know you were there because you know there's so many numbers and when you press 1 it alerts me that you're in.
Uh-huh.
So okay, great. Well, we have you now, and again, thank you for being patient and taking the time to join us. So now I have both of you brothers, and I'm very thankful for that. So let's go first with Brother Shep. Tell us a little bit about tomorrow. Again, this is the 3rd year. So what inspired it?
Can you hear me?
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to make sure we all connected up. Peace, Dr.
Yep,
Shaka.
Peace, my brother, Shep.
All right, you know, and again, my apologies for falling asleep. Sometimes
that's
the body
right.
does what it wants to do, you know.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Again,
the
this is the 3rd year, and it's a memory of King Lord Yoda X, who envisioned the whole idea of us beginning to use hip-hop culture as a vehicle to stimulate people into understanding that we're living in an unhealthy society that really doesn't care about people in general, but definitely black and brown people in particular. And it's up to us to begin to do the things that I heard you speaking of earlier, changing our diet, our way of living, you know, being in shape and doing all the things they really don't want us to do, because we know that the medical industry, the pharmaceutical companies, they exist on our being unhealthy, being sick, not being well, and seeking them out for solutions through their imitation remedies, where we have Mother Earth can give us everything that we need, and we just have to have the knowledge, you know, and then the will and the support to seek out that knowledge and to apply it to our families, so that we begin to teach our children from when they're, or before they're born actually, but when they are do come here, and how to live these healthy lifestyles. And again, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I'm Dr. Shaka Zulu. He's an acupuncturist, you know, in the legacy of Dr. Mutulu Shakur, and a martial artist, and a number of other things. And basically, he coordinates a lot of the work for what we're doing tomorrow. And in terms of Cuba, they have been world leaders in the medical industry for decades, even though the United States has an illegal blockade on the people of Cuba, and they actually developed their own, you know, solution to the COVID. And we're going to be talking about that tomorrow, and just looking at those different alternatives that can be done. So I really would like to turn it over to Dr. Shaka, who has more knowledge in this area. I learned from him. When I get those pains or ailments, I go to Dr. Shaka Zulu. It might be something in a little bottle that you drink in the morning, but it might be an exercise that you do. So I would really have to turn it over to him, but encourage people, if you're in the Harlem or New York area tomorrow, stop by the Harlem State Office Building. If you get there around noon, there should be tables and information there from different organizations about this. We'll definitely have our tent up, and we're going to have an open mic. So if you do things in this area, please stop by and let people know what you do. Bring your literature so we can pass it out. We're going to record it by film so we can share it. And we said health is wealth. So without any further ado, I'd like to just bring Dr. Shaka Zulu.
All right. Dr. Shaka Zulu, we are ready for you. We thank you again. And before you begin, I want you to know you got to come back. Let's see, we only have like 10 minutes left for the actual live stream, although we'll go over, but I want you to come back because, you know, our program is about relationship building. So when we find brothers and sisters that are on a similar or same track or mindset, we keep them.
That's right. So count me in. I'm down. I want to just give a little bit of information. I want to be not that long, but I will be strong, hopefully. So as our beloved brother, Big Uncle Shep said, I brother Dr. Shaka Zulu. I am a martial art master. I've been doing martial arts for over 30 years. And when I got to a certain point in my martial art career, the Supreme Grandmasters in the council advised me. They stated that in order to be considered a real master, one not only knows how to kill, but has to know how to heal. I said, wow. So I had to go backwards, all the way backwards into, well, not backwards, but start all over again as a white belt, but into the healing arts. And it wasn't that foreign to me because my family is from the Caribbean. So I was kind of like certified as a Caribbean bush doctor for my grandmother. So dealing with natural herbs, was kind of like, you know, was always there for me. So I wound up going back to school to do traditional Chinese medicine, to do the acupuncture, and I wound up graduating and became a naturopath. And in this naturopathic pathway that I'm doing, I found various systems that are also great, such as traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, which is the science of Indian medicine, natural medicine, African medicine, Caribbean medicine, Native American medicine, and so forth. And so my theory and my practice as a my holistic health practice is called Natural Health Hero, because it's based upon the information
transform into affirmation to cause change, transformation, and rebirth for everyone. And the reason why we have to have that is because, as you know, there's a lot of health disparities, particularly in the black and brown community. And I feel that we have the solutions right in our hands. The medical gangsters, basically pharmaceutical gangsters, have been really tricking a lot of people, tricking the asses of people, if I'm all right to say that, into tricknology, into taking synthetic drugs, you know, all these different things in which right now I don't want to say about, you know, well, speaking of like the COVID, you know, it's a big thing about it. And I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to go too hard on it, but I know that people, a lot of our people have felt very pressured into taking the vaccine. And a lot of people who haven't taken the vaccine are scared. But there are a lot of things that you can do to empower yourself that the people to know. You know, they just want to just rush people to take these medications and do this. And for these so-called vaccines that haven't actually been around that long and they're still in experimental phases. However, they're going to now question you and I for taking home remedies or natural remedies that have been passed down from our ancestors for centuries. I think that's a big problem. So I'm actually utilizing knowledge, the wisdom of our ancestors to come up with the answers for our solution of today. One of the formulas that I had out was called Four Thieves. I don't know if you're very familiar with the herbal blends of Four Thieves, but have you heard of that, sister? Hello. Well, anyway, there's so many herbal blends out there, but a lot of them, particularly dealing with, there's a famous one that is hard to get, is very expensive, but we actually came up with our own solution and started producing it ourselves, and one is called the Four Thieves, and this comes out of a story coming from out of the 14th century during the bubonic plague. And they had these four thieves that were rummaging through all of the people's stuff. And they got caught at one point. And they were threatened to give up the secrets or else they would die. So the four thieves stated that they were sons of the grandmaster herbalist. And each of them was taught to bring each of these herbs. So one was to bring the sage. One was to bring rosemary. The other one was to bring thyme and oregano. Now, these are all herbs that some of us should probably already have in our common cabinet.
Right, sure.
And they're very beneficial for seasoning our food. And for those that don't know, when you use those spices and seasons, they're not just for flavoring, but they actually enhance the flavoring, but they also help the body system to break down the food better. Whether you're seasoning chicken, fish, even red meat, et cetera. So those herbs actually help. They are medicinal. And so those herbs are very, very good by themselves. I can write a whole book as to what oregano is and what oregano can do. I can go into what thyme is and what thyme does. Thyme is actually good. It has a compound called thymoon, which is excellent for the thymus gland. And you know, the thymus gland is responsible for the T killer cells, which help kill cancer. So that's very important for us to have and basically be in tune with those herbs that can help help activate that.
So
we have a whole lot of stuff. The answers is all right in our hands. You have black seed. That's another.
Yes.
Healing thing that comes from out of the East, which has a lot of antiviral, antibacterial, antifungal properties. And it's excellent for a lot of people who are dealing with pain, dealing with a lot of stress, asthma, and so forth. So now, according to this health walk, we're doing this health walk because my beloved brother who made his transition King Lord Yoda X. Mm-hmm. He was a grandmaster of music. He was a DJ, famous DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
right before he made his transition, he wound up getting a little bit more hit to the script about health and natural health.
Right.
And
right.
his brother battled cancer and beat it two times. By the grace of the Most High.
Yes.
By doing herbal treatment, he started to not just talk about it, but actually be about it. And as a naturopath, it really moved me, because a lot of people being hit with a lot of different illnesses, sicknesses, you see it all up on the social media, and they'll tell you, you know, oh, do this, or, you know, they'll just make themselves like they're the billboard, but they're not really taking the information. I actually saw this man really change his life dealing with the chemo.
Right.
How it was, you know, the pain. And then also we started giving him what is known as graviola, which they now call soursop. We've been calling it soursop, but they call it graviola, which is the number one killer for cancer and so forth like that, which they try to ban and change the name and so forth. The FDA, they trying to change the name now. So we was able to give that to him, and that was very good on helping to shrink the tumors and so forth. So there's a lot of different things that we can deal with and approach with alternative, or as I would say, complementary medicine. Mm-hmm. But with him, he was a superhero in that, because he didn't just talk about it, he actually walked it. And then we started talking about, you know, doing a health walk, because a lot of people, they just don't walk. We're sitting on the television, watching the television, playing the games all day, all night. The hip-hop community is not really a healthy community, you know, with the music that they portray, the music that they promote, you know, staying up late, drinking, or, you know, all this type of alcohol, excessive smoking, and, you know, staying up late. It puts a wear and tear on the mind. It puts a wear and tear on the whole body. And particularly, a lot of folks don't know, it puts a wear and tear on the liver. Your liver organ is a main organ that you need for detoxification. And people who have, you know, messed up livers, they have a lot of irritable situations with themselves.
Right.
So acupuncture is very good for that. Changing the diet is good for that.
Wonderful.
So part of this walk is basically keeping that information alive, that health is wealth. And the answer or the key to our situation is right in our hands and right in our feet. We can walk, say, you know, I can't do this. If you just walk one, two steps, you know, the body will exhibit and enhance what is known as movement. And a lot of people have been doing acupuncture for about now 12 years, is majority of people who are suffering from what they call illnesses or diseases or so-called diseases is really mainly circulatory issues. Because the circulation of our blood and our body is not moving properly. Okay. And number one, we're not drinking enough proper water. You know, the body is made up of, you know, more water than anything else, which contributes to making plasma. But if you're not drinking proper water, you know, and so that's the water. Then there's what is known as the chi. And the chi helps to move the blood. So we can basically put in more great food into the body to create a better blood flow. Then you also have to now start doing some movement and exercises, breathing exercises to enhance the chi flow.
Yes. Well, you know why I'm laughing, right?
Why are you
because I'm very familiar with the ideals and the chi factor. I'm very familiar with that, and I laugh because my name is actually Chionesu.
That's a dynamic name. People don't even realize.
chi, you know, a lot of people in our community get scared when they hear chi. Is it chi? What's it with chi? Chi is not just for Chinese. Chi is actually Chinese for life force energy. Okay?
Absolutely.
In Japanese,
that's why
we say chi.
Yep.
And
yes.
In India, we say prana. In Africa,
yes.
we say moyo. And in El Barrio,
yes.
Spanish Harlem, we say energia, energy. It's the same thing.
It's
but
the
that
same.
Energy
that's
is
right.
what moves the blood. Yeah, we got to have
that's
that
right.
universal energy to move that blood. We have a lot of stagnant blood that creates stagnant
that's
mindset
right.
and everything else.
Yeah,
we have that sluggishness, so that's why we have to do the detox, detox from the breathing, all this called the pollutants that we're ingesting.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I could go on. Sister. You know, I love talking about this stuff here because I really, really love empowering our people with this information because our people suffer not only from what they say, our people suffer from, like Malcolm said, lack of love ourselves. But we
yes.
all tend to lack
yes.
of knowledge of ourselves, but also the lack of the love of health. For self. We do so
and
many
you know,
detrimental things and don't take the time to put quality of self-health together.
And my brother, that is so, I mean, you're so on point because I don't know if you were listening earlier, but some of the things that some of our brothers were saying, ancestors were saying is, you know, some of the things we need to do. And one of the things, of course, that our brother New World said is, you know, we got to love each other. We got to love ourselves. And
yes.
that was one of the things that was really kind of, you know, highlighted in that conversation. But what I had said to everyone was, you're right. These are the things we need to do, but we have to now raise the bar and go to the next step and say, and this is how we can do it. It can't just be
exactly.
left at, this is what we need to do. We got to go into, here's some of the suggestions or here's some of the proven whatever, or we've got to go with that kind of, you know, information and assertion as well. It can't just be, we need unity or we need this or we need that. Yeah, we know that. But
absolutely.
What's the
we
plan?
We have to become it. Right. What's the plan? We have to become it. You know, I'm kind of like that myself. You know, I use the title brother before I use the title doctor proudly, you know, because
I know
brother,
that's right.
I'd rather, you know, brother this or sister this. I said, no, show me brotherhood. Show me
right.
brotherhood
that's
before
right.
you just
that's
say that.
Right.
And I believe
that's
I want
right.
to use that and do that before anything else. So I have to do brotherhood. We have to implement
I
that.
I know that's
more.
Right. See, I knew when I said similar like minds, I knew, I just knew it before I even heard all of this because, you know, my name or the handle that I use particularly for communications and radio is Sister Empress Chi.
Mm-hmm.
That's my radio handle.
That's
Sister
that's
Empress Chi.
Sister, you about to make me go do like 100 jumping jacks right now.
hey, Brother Shep, didn't I just tell the truth, Brother Shep?
Oh, yeah. You see why I said that this is who I go to. yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. This is on and popping. And just to kind of also add to this incredible interaction, a few years ago, I wrote to Dr. Matula Shakur, and in doing so, we were in the process. This was before he became ill, so it's been a while. But the idea was we were trying to establish a correspondence course because for MWM we were developing at that time and still are what we call the African Holistic Health and Healing Society. And this was an MWM component. And what we wanted was to have a correspondence course coming from Dr. Matula Shakur, which would also enable us to keep the energy and to keep the fight, you know, for his freedom, right? So it was doing two things at one time. It was to educate our people, those who were interested in really getting into Oriental and national health. We would get it from an expert that was like us, for us. And then, of course, to continue to fight
you know, we would have more people who would become aware of, you know, getting him freed. Fortunately, he, you know, soon after that, you know, became pretty ill. And so, you know, we didn't want to pursue, you know, with trying to establish that. We're doing the same thing with Mumia, by the way. Mumia Abu-Jamal has agreed to do a correspondence course with us on journalism so that we can train our own journalists. And so, you know, again, you know, Mumia fell into some health issues, and so we had to kind of wait until he was, you know, better, feeling much better to do that. But he did, in fact,
agree. Yeah, that's one of the things I'm actually focusing on tomorrow. Is that whole issue of our elders that are in prison. I'll be speaking on that tomorrow.
Wonderful, wonderful. So
we
are definitely going to combine
doing
another
correspondence.
Say it again.
I was saying that we definitely should consider doing another correspondence course for the holistic or acupuncture.
Yes.
If in the event that we cannot physically get to Dr. Matula, you can spiritually, etherically connect with him through the lineage of his grand student, such as myself.
Okay.
I'm one of his grand students.
My teacher
worked with Dr. Matula Shakur. His name was Dr. George Xavier Love. And he's a direct student.
I know Dr. Love. In fact, he'll tell you we've been trying to do this for like 5 years. Dr. George Love is from Philly. I know him.
That's
my goodness.
He is the Blue Dragon. And I'm the New York Blue Dragon.
Okay. Oh, it's on and popping, as they say. It's on.
That's right.
He will tell you this is something we've been working on for like 5 years, trying to get this thing done. And so next year is really the year because it's the Million Woman March 25-year anniversary. And so a lot of what we've been working on will now come into fruition. And this I bear witness, this is happening right now. We've been working on this for yes. Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Well, I would love to come to Philly to do
self
love workshop on teaching folks about air acupressure and also the revolutionary acupuncture techniques that Dr. Matula Shakur was founded, such as the
five-point
protocol that today they call the NADA protocol, which is excellent for helping individuals relieve themselves from any type of addictions, pain, anxiety, et cetera.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Brother Shep, you done did it now. I mean, you do a lot of stuff. You do a lot of it. Let me tell you, you done did it now. Oh, my goodness. Well, family, y'all just don't know what's getting ready to happen, but you're going to know because we've talked about certain things, and now the pieces are finally coming in place. With that said, about 2 weeks ago, we were able to secure our instructor who is going to be teaching the doula, the techniques that will enable our sisters to start looking more at having our children at home. And so we've been working, you know, really haven't put a lot of information out there because it just wasn't time to do so. But it is now. It is now. Dr. Shaka Zulu. Dr. Shaka Zulu, may I say. I am so appreciative of this conversation. And so we will talk later on this week without a shadow of a doubt. But before we close out, I want to stay focused. I'm really excited. I'm really thankful. But I want to make sure that people get the information for tomorrow because we do have some listeners who are listening from New York. We've already talked to a few of them. So please share again tomorrow what time, the location, and anything else that'll help provide them with any additional information.
We need everyone to come on down to the Schomburg Library, which is on 135th Street in the great place of Harlem, USA. We're going to get ready for the hip-hop health walk, the third annual hip-hop health walk, and we're going to walk and conduct health talks all the way down to 125th Street State Office Building. And then from there, we're going to have some more information, seminars and workshops there, as well as more information about our Cuban family that's going through the Cuban crisis, medical crisis as well.
Okay. Wonderful, wonderful. All right.
So
Brother Shep, did you have something you want to add in?
Brother yeah, we're going to be there until we'll be there until about 3 o'clock at the Homestead Office Building. And
okay.
for folks who want to continue, you know, we're gonna some of us gonna walk to 116th Street, you know, for those who are able
all
to
right.
do that. But the main thing is the Schaumburg at 1 o'clock. We're gonna gather there, and then we're gonna walk, you know, as Dr. Shaka said, to the State Building, where you'll see our tent there. If you can't do the walk, come straight to the State Building. And when
okay.
folks get there, we'll have a little workout there too. You know, just
come
before
right
you
out.
Are able
Dr.
to do that.
Hero. Yes.
Yep. Get that blood flowing and get the air pumping and all those type of things without too much stress. So it's gonna be a
wow.
good day. And you know, and it's just you know, it's the third one and we're building on it every year. We just got the Cuban stuff involved. And folks don't know, you know, you hear a lot of negative stuff about Cuba, but
wow.
you go to Africa, you go to South America, you see who dealt with the Ebola virus. It was our Cuban doctors. We have
That's
doctors right.
right
now in the United States that went to Cuba through the ELAM school and learned to be doctors for free. The only requirement is that you do a couple of years in the community to share with the community
yeah.
what you learned
yeah.
and become a doctor.
That's right.
You know,
yep.
and there's all free medical care there. Nobody pays
yep.
for it. There's a doctor for everyone's house. You know, so it's a completely different system, which is a lot based on what we did with the Black Panther Party. When we said we wanted free medical care for every
right.
you know, for every person in this country, we demanded that. So information is intelligence, and that's what we're going to be doing tomorrow, putting that information
well,
in. That's
well,
right.
I just want both of you to know that we're going to talk later on this week. I would love for you to bring that to Philly. We need some kind of, if not hip-hop walk, something to Philly, you know, that's similar. And for those that don't know, we put the position out several months ago in terms of our support for ending the blockade and our support. Our position is from the human rights position, which is we reserve the rights, meaning we reserve the right to, if there has to be, we know that there's a you know, they're going to claim this public health issue. So we get that. There's no getting around that. But we're saying we reserve the right to have whatever treatment we want to have. That is our human right, and that's what we have asserted.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
with that said, we want to educate our people more about, you know, the alternatives that is available. And, of course, at this point, we know that it is Cuba. So brothers, later on this week, let's talk again and get ready to come to Philly. That's all I'm going to say.
Certainly. Oh, we'll be there.
Yes.
All right,
we just
Sally.
There last
yes.
weekend.
Oh, yeah. I know. No, listen.
Matter of fact, you know, before you close, just real quick, sometimes
uh-huh.
it's faster for me to get from the Bronx to Philly than it is get from the Bronx to Brooklyn.
Wow.
That's how close you are. That's how bad
oh,
the MTA
wow.
transit is.
Wow.
Well, it's long overdue
well,
for me to come visit my family in Philly. So I'm ready.
Well, we are ready, my brother. We past ready, to be honest with you. We've been waiting for a while to bring some things forward. And so now we know that the work that we've been doing it's made a difference. We had to figure out some things because, as we often say here, as Brother Steve Coakley taught us, Philly is the home of the Boule. All right.
Yes.
Boule
oh,
was started
yeah.
in Philly. So we had some stuff going on up in here that if you didn't understand some other dynamics, for real, you, ooh-wee, you was in not just a precarious situation, you was in some trouble. So it took us a while to really, you know to really know, you know, some very intricate things that we now not only know but have a very good handle on. So we're ready to move forward now.
So this is going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
All right. All right, family. Well, listen, you all know what time it is, and it's time for us to get out of here. We've had a wonderful conversation, as usual. Again, for those that do not know, we are approaching our 14th year for this program, totally independent. Only no nonsense for 14 straight years. Now, if y'all don't know by now that we're quite serious, then I can only tell you that, you know, y'all need to find somewhere else to go. Anyway, with that said, we're moving forward. We've been talking with our brother Shep, of course, and certainly a new family member now, and we're talking again about Brother Dr. Shaka Zulu. I'm really looking forward to this. So, family, listen, we're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you in the spirit of Ma'adenhotep. But remember, there can never be any real peace, meaning Hotep, that is, until there's truly justice. And we're not just talking about any old kind of justice, by the way. We always differentiate and make it clear what we're talking about. And we're talking about Ma'atic justice. So it's not just justice. That's right. We're holistic.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the whole thing, truth, balance, law, order, reciprocity, righteousness. We're talking about Ma'atic justice. And that means for us, about us, designed by us, etc. So you know what we say, if there's no justice, there's no what, my brothers?
No peace.
All right now. So listen, we know that y'all got to go get some rest. But like I said, you can rest, it's okay. But there ain't going to be no peace, y'all. All right, family. Listen, we thank you both for sharing with us tonight. And again, we're certainly looking forward to talking with you later on this week. And family, we're looking forward to having you all be black with us next week, same time. You know what we do and what we say. Pamoja to the Shinda. Together we shall win. But not just win, we come out now. All right, family. Thank you, Brother Chef. All right, my brother,
peace.
Dr. Zulu, I'm looking forward. And peace to you all.
Me too, sister.
Tutanana.
Peace to you. Good night, everyone. Good night.